Yeah, you already know this is Gilly the King. This is $1 million worth of game.
Yeah, man, this Wallow Tuesday. No, you pulled the same
all right,
name.
Come on,
I say my
come
name.
Come on, man. We ain't got to be structured like that. Oh, yeah. You ready to
all right, that's cool. That's cool. Well, listen, man, forget all that.
You nut-ass nigga will tell me how to start the show. You supposed to say your name.
Right,
I'm supposed to say my
name. All right, cool, let me say my name.
Okay, let's start over. Let's do it like
no, we're not starting over. We're not starting over.
Yeah, how are you guys doing? This is Gilly the Kid. It's on you.
No, I'm not. No. Okay. All right. Damn it. Okay, so you gave it to me. Yeah, man. This Wallow 267, man.
And this is $1 million worth of the game.
Oh. This Wallow 267, a.k.a., you know me. Anybody know me? Bruce Leroy Jr., the one and only mixed martial artist. You see what I'm saying? I got 3 black belts. You know what I mean? This is what I do. Like, to anybody that want it, come step to me. I'm at $1 million worth of game. You know what it is.
You fucked it up already.
I had to throw my names out
you
there.
You talk about mixed martial artists. You should have said, yo, this Wallow 267, I'm a mixed bag of nuts.
No.
Fucking macadamia nuts.
See, people like you just hate it. But before we get into all this, man, I want to give a big shout out to the $1 million worth of game sponsors, man. One and only, man. EverythingDivaGlam.com, man. Have you had any good hair lately? Ask yourself that. Because me...
You ain't had no good hair in 20 years.
No, you didn't have no good hair either. You know what I mean? But hopefully Diva Glam can hook us up. Because you was talking about them caps. Like them joints that look like they got the waves and all that on the side. You just throw it on. You know what I mean? She probably can hook us up.
I told you we should go get do the hair piece joint just for one day. Relive our
youth. I'm actually like, you know, Diva Glam should have some pieces for it. Because they be having the hookers, what's them joints, the caps and all. But then we ain't got nothing to sew in.
You could be lace front low.
No, we could just glue that shit to our head and just rock it. I just want the waves for one day. I just want to be one of them pretty boys for one day with the waves and all that stuff.
Nah, see, you out of pocket. Like, I ain't never been a pretty boy.
No, I'm just saying that was the thing. They got all the girls. I mean, they was feeling them. Like, that's the only thing I want to do.
I got all the girls, and I was ugly, nigga, but my vernacular was spectacular.
Yeah, we know all that. No, hold up. We also got to shout out a major sponsor. You see what I'm saying? Real Estate Money Club, my man Mark Flip Houses, man. You trying to get into real estate, man? Listen, that's the way to go. They doing their thing out here. They one of the few many that's really doing their thing. They really getting results, and they can show statements. That's the thing. Shout out to Mark Flip Houses and Real Estate Money Club, man. Check them out. But listen, man, we got some serious things to talk about. Listen, man, it was a painful week for me and Gil, man. We was out. Shout out, man. Los Angeles, man, they lost a great one. The hip-hop game lost a great one. The community lost a great one. The culture lost a great one. Rest in peace to Nipsey Hussle. And I just want to say, man, just going over there and seeing the love, I never seen nobody receive that much love in my life. It was just great, man. Us going out there, you know, to show his people love, man, just the whole community. It was everything, man. You know, what's your take on it, cuz?
Man, the funeral, first and foremost, the way they treated the king, it was a great send off, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't totally agree with everything about the funeral. I felt as though it should have been some more Crips in there. I thought it should have been some more people that he grew up in there.
Because
I was in LA and a lot of people that, you know, he grew up with that he was close to, you know, they kinda got pushed away. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people who was from the neighborhood Rolling 60. Shout out to the neighborhood Rolling 60.
Shout out to the brothers.
Shout out. They wasn't there.
So I'm just saying.
But it was a great send-off, though. You know what I mean?
And yeah, it was spectacular, man. I never.
Absolutely.
I was like, just seeing it would get you emotional. Mm-hmm. Just being out there, you know, because we was out there touching the people. We're just seeing how everybody, the vibe. It was just like, wow. He had a real impact out here. It was just for me to be able to meet him. You see what I'm saying? I always knew about him when I was in prison. You know what I mean? Gil first put me down with him because I was in prison. He's like, yeah, I just shot this movie. Nipsey. I said, damn, Nipsey, I think I heard. He said, yeah, he coming up here on the West Coast. This was like before. It was like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Victory. It was way before. That was like
2008, 2009. Yeah.
So I'm on the phone. He's like, yeah, I said, you got a movie. So I'm just shocked about the movie. He telling me everybody, Ben Rames, Nipsey, this and third. So, you know what I mean? Back then, he sent me some pictures of it. You know what I mean? So it was like, wow. Just to be able to, you know, get out here myself and to be able to connect with him. You know what I mean? Outside of cuz, just be connecting and just being able to interview him several times. It was all, you know, it was real with him. He wasn't like, it wasn't no like, and I'm not just saying it because he did, like, he wasn't with the fluff. He wasn't this rapper. You know, the dudes, oh, get with me. No, he said, no, take my number, bro. Call me.
Absolutely.
You in L.A., call me. I called him when I was in L.A., and it was like, it was just, you know, he put some plays together for me to connect with other people to interview them, and it was just real.
Well, Nipsey always had a genuine soul. You know what I'm saying? From the time I met Nip back in 2009, and how I met Nip was through Ving Rhames.
Yeah, Big Ving. Shout out to
you know, and it's crazy how Ving even met both of us. Ving seen me on a DVD. He was filming a movie with Bruce Willis. In Boston, he had some time off, and he went to a store, got some DVDs. I just so happened to be on a DVD, and it was when I went through a little incident with Cassidy, and I went to Cassidy's block or whatever. And Ving just, he was like, I like that shit. Like,
thank you.
You know?
I think you're real.
And then he tracked me down, you know what I'm saying? And then in the process of tracking me down, you know, he put me in maybe 11 movies, but after we did the first movie, he called me and asked me, like, you ever heard of this kid named Nipsey Hussle? I'm like, nah, he was in South Africa, called me from South Africa. Asked me, did I know Nipsey Hussle? I was like, no, you know. He was like, he kind of remind me of you, the way he thinks. You know, he's from the streets, you know, but he doesn't just act like a raggedy street nigga. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
But you're quite raggedy, if you ask me. That's just my opinion.
A lot of people would disagree with you. I'm not going to argue with that.
I don't have to argue with
but
you.
What
about
I'm
that.
Saying is, you know, Ving saw something in him, just pretty much like what he saw in me. And then, you know, he linked me with Big U, and at the time Nipsey was Big U and what's my guy, Steve Lobel's artist, and I think he was just about to sign with Sony or something to that aspect. So Nip always been down to earth, man. He's always been a thinker. He's always been an intelligent guy who just wasn't going to just rely on rap. Mm-hmm. You know, even back then when I met Nip, he was talking about opening up businesses, talking about all kinds of shit he was thinking about doing. So to all the youngins that's up and coming, Nip should be, you know, like the perfect example of what you can do out here. You know, and what's funny is I see a lot of people posting up and paying homage, but a lot of people is posting up and paying homage to Nipsey after he was already on.
Yeah, because me personally, like, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not saying it's cool, but that's what the culture has come to. The culture has come to, oh, I don't want to come across as a dick eater. I don't want to come across as I'm Joe Familiar. I don't want to, you know, because some people think showing love is dick eating. Like, we didn't got so detached. The culture got so detached from the human, like human communication and human connection, that we dehumanize each other to think, hey, what's up, man? Gil, how you doing? Oh, man, that's Dickie. Why you answer? Why you speak to him? And that's what it is. And we like to jump up on things after the fact.
Right.
Because if everybody was playing his music like that, he'd have been to the moon.
Absolutely.
Everybody was, you know, me supporting. But it's like, that's how it's sad. I'm not saying it's cool, but that's the reality of life.
Well, you know, everybody want to support you when something tragic happened to you. When you're right here and you're on planet Earth and you like, support me, go buy my music. Motherfuckers is like, okay, we'll get to it when we get to it. But the minute something tragic happened to you, it's like it wake people up. And it's a shame that, and it's just like, especially with black families. Mm-hmm. When do we see each other? At a funeral. You feel what I'm saying? When do we? Oh, damn, cuz, I ain't seen you in 10 years. I ain't last time I seen you is when Aunt Mary died. Nigga, that ain't a good fucking thing. So black people and just people in general, you know what I'm saying? What you learn from Nipsey's situation is enjoy life while you're here. Enjoy your loved ones while they're here. Mm-hmm. Don't just have gatherings when it's funeral time. When a nigga stinking and getting dropped in the ground, that shouldn't be the only time you niggas get together. So, and every lesson is a blessing. That's what you take from Nipsey Hussle's situation, is that this guy ain't have cancer. He didn't have no traumatic illnesses. But you can go at any time. Somebody could take your life at any minute. So you got to live, man. You live for today, you live for tomorrow, and you live for your future, and you live for your kids and your family and the people that's around you and the people that love you, man.
Well, you know what? You know, you can't even follow that, man. He said everything is necessary, and I just say live every day like it's your last day on earth. Before we get into $1 million worth of game, I want to tap into a segment of Who Would You Be? Now, Who Would You Be is a segment where we talk about if you died and came back to life, who would you be? You know, and I would ask Gil that question, or you could ask me the question, and it's just about, you know, and be truthful about it.
Okay, so let me see, because I know you, you know, your nut ass love to sing.
Oh yeah, I'm a hell of a singer. Like that's okay. Everybody
so,
know that. Like,
so if you, you know, could come back, you know, if you could come back under any member of New Edition.
Oh man, that's hard, man.
Who would you be?
You got a lot of legends there. Like it's a lot of legends.
I see you coming back like as Bobby Ralph Tresvant.
Man.
Because you're a sensitive nigga, man.
Yeah, yeah, that part. You know, I'm not afraid.
S-E-N-S-I-T-I-V-I-T-Y.
I'm not afraid of shit. That's cool. What's wrong with that, man?
A man
like I'm saying, what's wrong with that? What's
wrong with that? Someone that will hold you. Someone that will squeeze you. Someone that will treat you right.
Like me, girl.
Yeah, I can see you would definitely be Wallow Tresvant.
No. Without a doubt. No. You know what I mean? I'm more towards somebody like Bobby or Johnny. You know what I mean? Because them dudes, you know, they can sing. But, you know, Bobby just lived a wild life. You know what I mean? I sung a couple classics, you know, Johnny Gill songs. Like a lot of people know, you know, they know I'm a singer.
But you know with Johnny Gill, you know back in the day.
Johnny Gill's a legend. So.
I don't know how true this is, but back in the day.
Johnny Gill's a legend.
Suge Knight said Johnny Gill sucked Sugar Ray Leonard dick.
Oh, whoa. Hold up. Don't do that. Don't disrespect that man.
Dog, I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what Suge Knight said.
Whoa.
I was young.
Whoa, that's some spicy stuff. You can't just come out and say stuff like that.
I ain't going to say it then.
You know what I mean?
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, but why would you, where did you come? Like, come on, man.
I'm just saying. Back in the day, Suge Knight, it was Suge on the beach. It was Jodeci.
No, it was
Tupac.
Wait, you got to show me this.
Henny in him, and then he just busted out and said, Johnny Gill sucked Sugar Ray Leonard dick. I was like, whoa. I was a young kid. I was like, whoa. Where the fuck that come from, shit?
I don't see. Hold up. I don't see Johnny Gill. He can have any woman in the world. I don't see him giving Sugar Ray a BJ.
I don't see him giving him a BJ.
I
mean, at the end of the day, I really, no. You
no.
said you would come back as Johnny Gill.
I didn't say I would come back as Johnny. I said his music was good. I sung some of his songs. I'm more like Bobby Brown. I'll say Bobby Brown. No. What's BBD, Belle DeVoe, one of them. Don't listen. Do not connect me. Like, don't do that to me.
No.
We gonna leave that alone and try to get into this. Hold on.
After all this time,
we gonna leave that alone.
I wanna say
Newsflash, just so happened, you have Gil in your name. Gil. Wow. J. Gil. Wow. So we're going to leave that alone. Now we're going to tap into, at this moment, we're going to tap into, you know what I mean? You're going to leave that alone, Gil.
You a nut ass.
No, we're going to tap into $1 million worth of game. This is a major part of this, you know, part of the show. This is a segment that's powerful. And this $1 million worth of game, I will read this off. This is just, hi, Gilly. What are your take on men getting his ass ate by his girl? This is crazy. Hold on. My ex was really open and a huge freak, but my boys are calling me weird and gay for that. What about a man eating a girl's ass? It's 2019 and times have changed. So I think that's just basic by now and more accepted. Like half of my boys say they're not down for this either. What is your take, OG? I know this isn't your main account because he hit us up the $1 million worth of game account on Instagram. If you're not following, follow that M worth of game on Instagram. I know this isn't your main account, but I'm just trying to get you to reply to my question so I can show my boys your opinion.
Well, me personally, I'm not into a woman, you know, swiping her tongue across my ass like a MasterCard.
So you're telling me in your time in your time of being a rap guy, you're moving around, you're touring, nobody never did a drive-by?
No.
A tongue drive-by on you? I'm just asking you. I'm not putting that on you. I'm just saying, like, it never had a drive-by? It never did a tongue swipe? I'm just asking.
First of all.
Nobody never did a taste test?
First of all, they never did the swipe and roll over
me. I'm just saying this.
You hear me? I never got the...
I'm just saying.
Because you know what? If a motherfucker ever said, guess what he's going to say? Declined.
But they never said,
no, they didn't.
They
never
say it happened to you before. You're not going to tell me that it didn't happen. I know it happened to you.
First of all, let me just tell you something. My ass has never been got swiped like a Visa, a Master, a debit, a goddamn Capital One. None of those have never through my motherfucking shitter. You hear me? That's just not what I'm into. And there's guys out here who that's what they into. And there's women out here who say something about Emil's G-spot is in his bun hole.
How you know all that? How you know that?
Because
how you know that?
I hear women say that all the time.
How you know that? I'm just asking.
I'm telling you.
Sure look good tonight. All, I'm just saying, I don't know, Gil.
Hey, I'm telling
Gil.
You.
J. Gil.
I'm telling
you. I am J. Gil. Listen, man, well, we don't
hold
have
on. To. Hold on, man. Hold on. Let me finish explaining.
Explaining what?
Explaining that. As many women out
you
here.
You like it wet in the back?
As many women out here. Who that's what they do, you know. They tell a nigga, give me a break, break me off a piece of your shit, cat bar.
Oh, wow.
You
hear me? Wow.
That's what they do. And, you know, they say that it's a scientific fact that a man's G-spot is in his bunhole. I wouldn't know.
I'm just saying.
My G-spot is in my balls and is in that stem. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you get that stem, you get them nuts, you know what I mean? I'm going to give you what you want. I'm going to shoot crazy glue on the roof of your mouth.
So, you know now, I mean? Now, to answer this young man's question, how do you answer this question?
So, it depends on what it is that you like, what it is that, you know, you enjoy.
So, he's not gay for that?
I mean, no. I can't say that you're gay because you want a female to swipe her tongue across your ass like a credit card. So, I would just say you have some tendencies.
So what you're telling me is
But I can't call you a homosexual because a homosexual is something that has to do with two men.
What you're telling me is that
and then he asks is something about him eating her ass. Now I know you definitely
what?
Could school him on that.
I can't school him on
that. Yeah, shit.
We're going to go to the next segment.
No. I'm tell that man the proper way to eat ass. Let him know.
Oh, whoa. I'm just saying, listen, my personal business is not up for question. Like, that's not up.
Let me tell you something. Once we started $1 million worth of game and we started to live our truths through our show, we no longer have a personal life.
I'm just saying this. This is all I'm going to say. No. He asking you.
So let me ask you a question. Do you actually put the tongue in the butt?
It's about your style.
So wait. What do you mean? Ah, what's that? It's a.
I'm just saying, man.
Tell us, Lo. We want to know. We want to know what keeps April so
happy.
Whoa!
Come on, man. I got a baby leg. That's what. I'm running around here with a baby leg. Damn.
So the fact that
listen, man,
you can eat listen, a whole.
At the end of the day, I'm gonna tell this guy right here, man. Whatever you're trying to do, you eat it up, beat it up, and skeet it up, man. That's the whole format to this game, man.
You know, he an old nigga.
You know what I mean,
you hear me?
You young cat.
Eat it up, beat it up, and skeet it up.
You think what I'm saying?
That nigga sound like Bell Bimbo. Slap it up, flip it, and rub it down.
You know what I mean?
What are you talking about?
Some people prefer to suck toes. Assholes and elbows.
Okay, so I've been with two for 20 plus years, right?
Slurpee straw.
I blew bubbles in two butt with a Slurpee straw with a spoon on it.
Did she have a straw too?
She never had a straw ever. Like,
she had a straw. You know that Kiki Gill. Kiki Gill. KG. Coming to the stage. Starring the porn star all stars. Kiki Gill. He come right out stripping.
Hold on, you know
what's crazy? Listen, when we was stripping back in the day,
right?
You used to had a little kinky thongs on, like they was kinky jaws. They was a little different. They had the back out. Mine's had my cheeks covered. Your joints had the back out when we were stripping.
You know why? But I raked up all the money because they love when the nuts hang out the side. They love when the nuts drip down.
The cakes was bust open.
My cakes was never bust open. My cakes was bust open.
It was what?
It was never bust open. What are you talking about?
Hold up. Listen, I'm talking about the back of your man, Speedos was wide open. I don't know if that was the thing that you was into, but that wasn't my type.
So back in the day, let me tell y'all a story, right? Back in the day, we started stripping, right?
No. You influenced me. You're the older cousin. I was chilling. I was on the block. I'm going to tell him what happened. He came to me, your cousin.
So my name was Firecracker, right?
I got a quick.
Because I used to tell all the bitches I'm little with a big boom.
I'm not going
to
tell you my name.
Right? He came up with his name, right? His name was TTD, right? And for the record, what does TTD mean?
Throw that dick.
All right, right.
So he loved it. It was a classic name.
So me, Firecracker.
I didn't really come up with
him.
It. The lady that ran the strip club, she came up with it when she saw my piece. She changed your name, nigga. She named me Baby Leg.
No,
she said
didn't.
Baby Leg.
Okay.
She said, I want you to go out there with a bib on. She said, I want you to wear a bib on. She named me Baby Leg first. Then she called me TTD. We not even gonna hold that.
Now I'm gonna give y'all the true story, right? We get down there. So when we get down there, we had to dance for the lady, right? So she wanted to know, you all right, okay, dance, let me see what you got. So I go in there, right? I go first. You know, I get naked on her. You feel me? I cover the dick up with the goddamn long tube sock, the long white joint. You feel me? I'm in there, I'm giving her all hip action. She said, Firecracker. She said, No, I'm changing your name. Your name inches, right? So I said, okay, I left out of there. Low top. How it go?
Raheem the Jeweler? Oh, Raheem the Jeweler pulled up.
He pulling up?
We got to get him for the next. Because, you know, people been asking about that. You know what I mean? I'm starting to think you got your watch from Raheem. Hey, Raheem, okay. Listen. We're in the studio. We're getting busy. Where you at? You near the door? You by my car? Come around to the side. Listen, come around to, come around to your left-hand side and come to the door.
All right. Listen, man.
Fuck
Raheem and Jeweler.
No. You got your chain from him.
Hold on. This is my guy as well. Lamar.
A lot of things is happening in here. But this guy right here?
Somebody's coming up to get you. Okay. So, when I dance for her, I come out, you know, he like, Wallow's like, so how did it go? I'm like, man, went good, but she changed my name. He like, she changed your name to what?
I'm like, she changed my name to Inches, right?
He like, oh, did she? So he go in there. She like, what's your name? He like, TTD. She like, what that mean? Wallow was like, throw that dick. She's like, okay, that's clever. She's like, okay, let me see what you got. So he gets he take his clothes off. He in there, whatever. I just hear the music through the door. It's like, and can you the kiss of life, kiss of life.
That wasn't a joke. I went in there.
I don't know what he was doing, but then when he came out.
I had to rip away sweatpants on that day.
He had the little tears in his eyes. So I'm like, what happened, cuz?
You lying on me.
He talk about, yeah, she changed my name, too. I said, what she changed your name to? He talk about Baby Shrimp.
He's a damn liar.
He was mad
He's
as
a damn
shit.
Liar.
He was He's mad as shit. Liar. She changed his name to Baby Shrimp.
He's a damn liar.
He wanted to be throw that dick so bad, but she fucked his whole plans up. He came on. You won in TTD. You came out BS. You hear me? You came out Baby Shrimp. Look.
No, see, the reality is that you just want to lie on me. But you know, I ain't got to entertain it because, you know, you know, and I know, she called me Baby Leg.
That was Baby
first,
Shrimp.
That was the first name, BL. She's like, BL. I was like, hey, baby, what's going on?
The only BL you cool is BLJ, Bruce Leroy Jr.
But he's a legend. See, I deal with legends, and legends deal with me. That's the whole thing at the end of the day. But right now, we want to give out the segment of the show, Shout Outs to Legends. I want to give a major shout out to some legends. But I want to shout out one legend of the legend of all legends. Shout out to Bruce Leroy. I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for you. You know what I mean? You really changed the.
That nigga ain't no fucking legend, man. Whoa, stop whoa, that. Whoa. Hold on, dog. Listen.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Listen, we're not going to do that
Last time, the last time I hit you with a double grip claw, you was paralyzed for like 2 minutes. Leave me alone, cuz. Don't disrespect him.
Listen,
you keep disrespecting legends.
Listen.
You disrespect legends.
Listen, man. A nigga that had a movie out in 1988, and that's the only flick he ever had out in his life.
Stop disrespecting Bruce Leroy Jr.
He is not considered a legend.
Stop fucking disrespecting Bruce Leroy Jr. You were starstruck when we went up to New York and we met him.
No, I wasn't.
You were starstruck. You ain't put that on tape, huh?
No.
You were starstruck. You almost fainted. When you seen that he was real, and he ran up to me. He ran to me.
Well, listen, I ran up to him, but hold up.
I get things mixed up sometimes. I ran up to him. He said, you finally got the glow. That's when my life changed. That's when the glow was passed down to me. That's when I became, and you got it on tape. That's when I became BLJ. You know what type of moment that was? Because a while back, we was on Instagram, and you said, damn, what's your things you want to do?
When you came home from jail, his bucket list was, I want to meet Bruce Leroy. That's how he said it too. I got to meet Bruce Leroy.
I met the legend.
I was like, Bruce, who the fuck is Bruce Leroy?
You want to sit here and lie like you ain't know who Bruce Leroy is?
He's talking about from The Last Dragon. I was like, what the fuck would you want to meet him for? Like, what are you talking about?
Who wouldn't want to meet him? But I would say this. You're mad because your bucket list was to take Gina to China.
Korea.
And I beat you.
Yeah, but we going this summer.
I met Bruce Leroy. Like who do that? That's just like somebody saying they want to meet Michael Jackson and they do that shit in months. That's like somebody saying, oh, Muhammad Ali. I want to meet Muhammad Ali. I want to meet Michael Jordan. I want to meet LeBron. And they do it in months. Nobody do shit like that. I did. So right now, you're a little sad about that. You're salty. And when I met him, he passed the torch. I think that's what, because you didn't think that I knew him.
I knew you didn't know. And when you actually met him, I saw it in his eyes. He looked at me. He was like, "Who's this nut ass?"
No, he did not. You're lying.
Yes, he did. He had that look.
He had the look of,
and then he had his whole family out there, and they was looking at you crazy too, because they was like, "Did this grown ass man just walk up and ask another grown ass man? Could he be a junior? And this man is not his father."
No. See, you're mistaken. You don't know the martial arts. You don't know that vibe. You don't know that world. So you're a little lost on that. That day.
So hold on. Wait. In the martial art world, grown men walk up on other grown men and ask them, can I be your son?
That's my sensei. Like, he's my sensei. Like,
so sensei,
like, you got people that want to be me.
Hold on. So a sensei is another word for father?
Yeah, basically. Listen. You got a bunch of people. Devin Wade, he's one of my students. Now, he want to be a junior.
Wait.
He want to be me.
Wait.
What you think? You think all these dudes looking up to me and I'm training people everywhere?
Wait, you think this shit is just like a game?
Dudes want to be me. They want to be a martial. They got three belts, man.
Come on, man. Hold on.
Why wouldn't I want to be Bruce Lee?
Let me get this right.
And he had vanity. He had all the chicks.
A sensei is another word. A father.
Yeah, that's just the way to say father. Yeah, that's all. I'm qualified to tell you that. A lot of people won't tell you that, and I'm really not supposed to be leaking it out there.
Just for the record, for the motherfuckers that don't know, Wallow was 12 years old. He went to karate class for approximately 33 fucking days.
No. You're not talking about the time I spent with Earl in the park.
No.
You wasn't talking about, like, shout out to legend. I can't forget the one and only my first sensei, Karate Earl, rest in peace.
Okay, for people that don't know, Karate Earl is nothing but a dirty-ass nigga.
What?
A dirty-ass old head who was in the hood, who was smoking butter and knew a little bit of karate. That's all Karate Earl was.
I should kick the shit out of you for slandering his name. He ain't never smoked no coke. He was in Vietnam.
He ain't never smoked no coke.
No, he was in Vietnam. He walked around the neighborhood. Ain't nobody do shit to Earl. I don't understand. I showed you the people. Everybody told you Earl was official. Ain't nobody never do shit to Earl. People was wrapped in fish. Dude, listen. Earl took guns from people with no weapons. What the fuck? Like, you don't get it. Like, this dude was the real deal. All this shit, this dude, they supposed to have a movie about Karate Earl. This dude was real.
Okay, so give me...
You know what it is. Your brain is messed up. You know what I'm going to do? This is what I'm going to do. Because you're so fascinated with these boxers, dudes, I'm going to see one of these dudes on the street and I'm exposed. I'm going to trash one of these boxers. If I catch any of them on the streets, right there. I'm doing them in right then and there. Any of these little boxer friends that you got, these dudes you keep hyping up, Any of them dudes from Philly, I'm running down on them.
Do me a favor. Tell, give me an example of something that you've seen Earl do that would qualify him to be a legend.
What didn't I see Earl do? I seen Earl cook a person across the street one time. He kicked him from one sidewalk to he kicked the shit out of this dude. That's when I was convinced. You think it's a joke. That's your problem. He kicked the shit out. I seen him kick multiple people through car windows. I seen him kick the dude through a living room. I seen him take about at least 50 guns from people. Earl the type of boy, if it's a shootout and he come on the joint, dudes dropping guns and everything. I seen dudes drop a gun. This dude was extraordinary. At least that's what I'm saying. You never witnessed no shit like this.
Okay, so when Earl used to take you to the park back in the day as a kid.
Yeah.
What did he teach you?
He taught me a lot of things. It's secret. I can't tell you the stuff. You're not in the martial arts world. That's sacred.
What?
Stuff I know is sacred.
Did Earl touch on you low?
Huh? I can't believe it.
Because you know when you got to keep secrets.
No. The only thing, listen.
The adults tell you, don't tell your mother.
Whoa.
Hey, Wallace.
Now you're going a little too far. You disrespecting
Don't tell your mother what we did.
You're disrespecting
her. Don't tell your mother what I taught you.
No. He never done it.
I taught you the bunchy grip.
No. Only thing that happened when I was with Earl, the only time.
Let me find out Earl took you to the park and taught you the Cobra grip, bunchy grip.
Hold on. Let me just put this out there so you know. There was two rules with Earl when I come. Nothing on my feet, nothing on my chest. Because I had to.
What?
Whoa. I have my karate pants on. Don't do that shit. Don't try to slander Earl. Don't try to put him on that.
Hold on. So Earl told you, every time you come to the park, nothing on your feet, nothing on your chest.
He didn't say it quite like that. But he said a true warrior.
A true warrior is a weird draw.
He told me Earl felt like a weird kinky motherfucker.
No,
he told me. No, he didn't.
He said a true warrior.
This is what he said. A true warrior could battle in the raw.
What?
He didn't say you had to be naked. But you couldn't have no real shields of defense.
Listen, man, you gotta understand the arts. Because I'm trying to figure out if Earl was treating you karate. If Earl was putting his hands on your body, when you come see me, don't have anything on your feet or on your chest. A true warrior could battle in the brawl.
You know what I'm laughing at right
what?
Now? Earl, listen, a true warrior
could battle in the brawl.
Yeah, because you never know when I'm. Listen, you could be laying in the bed in your crib with your woman. Intruders could come in. Danger could come.
What?
I'm just telling you. Let me explain something to you. This is real important. This is why I got them belts and you don't. And you can't, you're not going to be able to protect your family. When danger arrives, you're not going to be able to protect your family. You're going to need somebody like me downstairs sleeping on the couch. Because when danger arrives, at any moment, I got my gi on, I can have a hoodie on, or I can have my birthday suit on. I'm getting busy right then and there.
What?
I'm going to protect me and mine from danger.
Wait, hold on.
What?
Guns are for love.
Listen, I don't pack guns. I don't do. I take guns from people. I don't got time for that.
I think that's what protection when somebody enters your house.
That's for dudes. It's cowards. I'm not a coward. I don't need that. I use these. You see this? My hands are registered. My feet is registered.
Man, if somebody breaks into your house, they come in with guns.
They're not. No. They don't have to come in with guns. But if they do, that's when I hit the lights.
All right, man.
I perform in the dark.
Karate Earl, man. Hey, listen, man. So if anybody is unfamiliar with who Wallo Nutass is and how he became a nutass nigga like this, with probably ADHD and a bunch of other four-letter shit, PGDT, PTSD, he got a bunch of shit going on in his mind. But if y'all don't know, Wallo went to jail at 17. He did 20 years, and he came home at 37. And we got a segment called Stories from the Cell.
You always want to.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, because I feel as though you should share your experiences from the penitentiary, because our soul you know, objective is to stop these kids from going to jail. Stop these kids from seeing the things that you've seen and witnessing a lot of the things that you've witnessed. You know what I'm saying? So we have a segment called Stories from the Cell. And what we want Wild O to do right now is to tell us something that you've seen in your journeys, your trips through prisons. How many prisons have you been in since you went to jail?
Camp Hill, Greatest Fort, Dallas, Chester, Coke Township, like five.
Five, okay. Let me ask you another question. So going to jail at 17 years old, which is basically a kid, you know, and you going up there with grown-ass men that's been locked up for 10, 15, 20. When you got to jail at 17, who did you come across in that had been in jail the longest?
At 17, I ain't meet him when I was 17. I met him later on. A guy named Joe Leeson, he was in jail for like 60 years. He went to jail when he was young for homicide. He was there, but I met him later on in a bit. But it was a lot of dudes I ran into when I first went to prison. It was down for 20, 40, all that type of stuff. But I wasn't worrying about that shit. When, you know, when them gates first hit and I realized that it was real, I was wrapped in fear. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm going to the unknown. I ain't going to front. Like, dudes be trying to front and thinking, oh, it's cool. That shit's scary. Because I'm, first of all, you're worrying about, you know, you know, I'm like, oh, is my ass on the line?
Yeah, I remember you called me about 6 months in.
I'm like, my ass on
the line. You called me and you was talking in codes.
Listen.
Nigga called me, talking about, yo, kiss us. You know what I mean? I'm going through with the Bizzle. I ain't going to Lizzie. My kids aches on the Lizzie. I said, what? Because we had never talked like this before.
I'm going to tell you some shit.
So when he called home talking about his kids aches was on the Lizzie, I said, the kids aches on the
Lizzie. That's another story.
The fuck are you talking about?
That's another story. But I'm going to tell you some shit I never told you. The scariest time of my life. I come from the yard, right? And there was a pack of Swiss rolls and some soups on my bed. I was like, oh, shit, they coming. somebody want everything from me. They want my goods. I'm like, so now I'm scared.
So you mean to tell me, because we need to get this right for all the youngins. So you mean to tell me when you in the state penitentiary, this ain't no county shit. This ain't no I'm waiting to get sentenced. This is I'm already sentenced and I got my time. So when you in jail, if you get to your cell and a Swiss roll and what?
It was Swiss rolls and soups.
And soups, if that's just laying on your bed and you didn't order them in commissary, somebody just put that on your bed, what does that mean?
It can mean multiple things, but I'm going to tell you what it meant for me. I thought, I went right in the cell, I locked the door, I threw the sheet up, and I prayed to every God that existed that this wasn't my time and my ass would be right when I leave. I was just like, I didn't know what was going on. I'm going to be straight up. I'm going to be like, because you don't know who comes. So when I grabbed the shit, I'm like, I got a sheet up, so I'm in there, because I don't want nobody to see me panic, because in jail, it's just like Instagram. You got to have a tough face. Oh, I'm tough. I'll do this to you. You're not going to do nothing to me. I'm a bad guy. Just like dudes be on Instagram. You know, right. Everybody's tough. Everybody's right. A killer. Okay. Right. Cool, right? So in jail, I'm like, I'm not going to let nobody see me sweat. I got my game face. So I threw the sheet up immediately. Oh, shit.
But did you eat the Swiss rolls?
No. Hold up. Listen, this was crazy about it. This how I knew shit was dangerous, because I'm like, damn. And then I hear my man. My man called me, yo, Wild O. So before I go pull the sheet down, because he was downstairs, I was on the top tier. I had to get my, I'm like this, I get it, I had to look at the mirror, make sure, splash my face, make sure all panic and fear was off my face. I'm like, oh, let me make sure I'm okay. Hold up, bro. I had to join, yo, what's up, bro? You cool? What's going on? Yo, I put the stuff you gave me last week on your bed. I'm like, oh, okay, I got that. Listen, I threw that curtain back and, oh my God. Listen, man. I was ready to take lockup and everything. I didn't know what I was ready to do.
So hold on. So you thought somebody was coming for your innocence.
Listen, and you know why? Because I was at Dallas. They call Dallas the Pink Palace. I seen dudes laying out in the yard, man. I seen dudes getting married in the yard.
Wait, hold on.
Straight up. Anybody know? Pennsylvania. They called Dallas. It had the most homosexuals. I was scared to death.
They called Dallas the Pink Palace.
Yeah. Because it was a joint with heavily homosexuals. So I'm like, listen. The first time I went to the shower, right? I go down in the shower. Come on, man. I'm serious, man. This shit was real, man.
Wait,
you don't know what I've been through.
So y'all was naming jails, like it was strip clubs, like going to Vanity Grand. No, oh, shit, they sending me to Dallas to pick
me. Listen, let me explain something to you. Let me explain some real shit to you. It was so, what's the name, that dudes would name the punks in jail. You had a punk named Penis Williams. Hold up. You had a punk,
Wait, how you know this?
Listen, that's in the jail. I'm just telling you the names. Everybody know this.
So wait, not Venus Williams. His name was Venus Williams.
Yeah. Hey, listen. You had a motherfucking name.
So wait.
Listen, you had, dudes just named the motherfuckers. You know what
they mean? Hit you with that racket, huh?
Motherfuckers had a, listen, this real life, this prison, everybody know what's going on because you were here, so you'd be like, what? Oh, shit, the boy named what? I'm staying away from that motherfucker. And then you had a motherfucker named Lil' Him.
Lil' Him.
Like Lil' Kim, Lil' Him. You know what I mean? Listen, I'm just telling you, listen.
Hey, yeah.
Listen, you had a motherfucker named, you had a white boy named Harris Hilton. You know, he had Paris Hilton. You had all type of crazy shit going on there. So a nigga like me, I'm like, listen, on some real shit, I'm scared to death. Because I don't know what's going on. You don't know. You might see a dude, that's the old head from down the way. I don't know if old head is really an old head or he wants some cheeks. So I'm just in the joint like, oh, shit. But that day, when I put that curtain back up, this is how I know when keeping it real goes wrong. When I put that curtain back up and I realized my homie threw the pecan squirrel and what's name on my bed, I put that joint up, looked in the mirror. Shit, ain't nobody doing shit to me anyway. Ain't no fucking nut. I'm a real one out here. Fuck is big. Tighten up. Slap myself. Tighten up. You from the streets. You a real one.
Hey, so hold on. So you commenced lying to yourself.
I had to. You got to charge yourself. Listen, in jail, you got to go insane in order to stay sane. Like, right. People be like, damn, wow, come out of jail. He just go right, he running. Yeah, because I had to go crazy to maintain my sanity. See, because you're going to see a lot of shit that's in jail that you're not going to be, you might don't accept. It might not really be about your life. But you got to believe in your mind that shit is okay. Because if you're looking at it from a regular mind, you're going to go the fuck crazy when you see the shit you see in jail.
Okay, so tell us, because our whole objective is to keep the youth out of prison. So what you see?
I done seen people get stabbed, man, and just, I'm talking about the blood be jumping out of them. And you got to look at that and walk by and mind your business. You can't be talking about it, ain't your business. You ain't see nothing. You might be walking the yard. Me and you walking the yard. A cat might, you know, because one thing about jail, this is what people don't understand. When you be out here shooting people and all that stuff, and you ride in the hood, and you putting the work in, you don't know who been sitting in jail for a long time, who family members you putting work in. So you don't know old head Kev that been in jail for 25 years, and that's his nephew. So when you come through with your homies, you know what I mean? You smoking your little buckhorns in the yard. Yeah, man, you know, I was out there putting work in. And this old head walked by, you think he just a regular burnt out old head, and he put a knife in your shoulder. And you're like, damn, what's going on? And they just keep putting it in you, whap, 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 and you trying to run. Ah, you ever see somebody get stabbed and they trying to run? Ah, they screaming. It's a scream. The scream is a scream you never heard in your life. Or when somebody walk up and had that 10-pound weight in their hand on them two
locks. Oh, that 10-pound weight is undefeated.
On a 10-pound wax in the side, and you just hear, and you hear a person hold their head for a minute. They hold their head for about 10 minutes, and they let out the scream. You don't hear the scream till about a minute within the scream. You just hear them. It's a whole different game. And shit like that, you be walking the track. Me, I'm scared. I was scared. Oh, shit, man. I got to keep being a good person. I'm glad I ain't do nothing to nobody. I'm walking the track like, oh, shit. This shit is real. Straight up. Like that shit. You see some, listen, and their head is open right up.
Wait, hold on. I got to keep being a good person.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. No, you can't be looking at nobody's cells. You can't be minding nobody's business. You can't be speaking on nobody. Because a lot of times you're going to see someone in jail and you're going to be like, damn, that was some, you know, you're old here to tell you, yeah, young blood, you know what happened here, none of nobody's business. You might see your homeboy uncle. He got married in the yard last week. You can't get on the phone and call, yo, man, you know, I had dudes here to tell me, yeah, my pop, my uncle up there, this and that, third year real, when he hold it down. I'd be like in my mind, your pop, he likes sausages. I can't tell a dude that. Because now, oh, it might come step. You told my son.
No, your pop works for Bob Evans.
Yeah, you told my son such and such. And I'm like, oh, I ain't saying nothing. You got to mind your business. Right. So I'm just like, you know, it's just like, that shit ain't cool. And, you know, but like times, a lot of dudes that talk about, yeah, I do time, we do, they talking about their homies or their brothers or their cousins that did jail time. They ain't talking about no jail time they did. So a person might be listening to it or seeing it on Instagram, and it's popularized to go to jail because that's the shit. I'm wanting to tell a dude, listen, it costs too much to be a criminal. Number one, you got to have a lot of, when you step into the street game, number one, excuse me, all the ladies that's listening out there that's living a life, I know y'all living a lit life. The ladies is like in their 30s, pushing 40s. Y'all out there partying. Y'all buying all the designer stuff. Y'all doing all that. All y'all are living in the inner cities of America. Could y'all do me a favor? Could you go get some life insurance for your goofy-ass son? Because a lot of y'all got goofy-ass sons out there. Please go get a little policy that could pay the $10,000, $15,000 for the, you know, for the janazah or the funeral. Because right. if you out there with some goofy shit, majority of times that's coming. And this is why I say it costs too much. Now, you have a dude, if you got a pistol and you operating outside of the law and you living in the United States of America, this is what I need to tell you. You need a lot of money to carry that pistol if you're carrying that pistol right. illegal. Because bail, lawyers, commissary, that's a lot of money that you don't have. So what you do is you say to yourself, oh, don't worry about it. Charge it to my family.
Right. Put that pressure and all that pressure on my mama.
On my mom and all that shit and on my people. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have the money to do this stuff. Right. You see what I'm saying? So my thing to kids is like these cats out here, I ain't even going to say kids. They grown ass men. You can't tell them nothing. The dudes that can't tell you nothing, the difference is between me. You got a lot of people on Instagram. Oh, stop the earth. A lot of people that speak to people on Instagram. I'm not none of them. You can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you don't go. I'm speaking from experience. I'm a dude that was in the streets running around with the guns, taking pictures with the guns, doing the goofy shit. Because I was a goofy young cat. So I know who you are. I understand who you are. I'm not judgmental, but I'm just trying to give you some game. And I'm trying to tell you, utilize me as your crash dummy. Say to myself, damn, you know what? Wallow already showed. I showed you the blueprint of where you're going at.
Right.
I did all the goofy shit. I was wanted to be down. I didn't know who I was. So I'm telling y'all to take this time out. Really think about how you're moving out. Look at everybody you got around you, because one of them dudes around you might kill you or might tell on you. Absolutely. So you got to be mindful of that shit.
And the fact that you said that, it goes to show you, look at Nipsey Hussle's situation.
Sad.
You know, it's a sad situation, but who murdered Nipsey? A nigga that he grew up with.
The hood.
The hood. So to all, that's another valuable lesson to all you youngins who be screaming, oh, it's my day ones, it's my day ones. It's, a lot of these dudes ain't even day twos, man.
They ain't day fours or fives.
Right, and a lot of these dudes, a lot of these guys is when you get an opportunity and you get a chance to make it out, don't ever feel like that the hood is happy for you. They not. Because it's hard for people to be happy for you when they in such a sad state of mind. They in such a sad state.
I'm not going to say everybody in the hood is
happy. No, I'm not going to say everybody, but it's, what
it's
I'm saying is
a percentage of people that probably
right.
that you didn't pass them and they feel as though that your blessings supposed to be their blessings because they ain't taking time to look at their blessings. We all got blessings. We all right. got talents. We all got things. But what we'll do is we'll overlook our blessings and be looking at somebody else's blessings so we can't even give right. our blessings the time and attention and to materialize our blessings.
Absolutely.
And it'd be deep. And
then we start questioning God.
That's what we start doing.
Why he made it out? Why he get there? Why he successful?
Why not me?
Why not me? Why him? Why he had to be the one? Well, maybe because he was the one that put the work in. You know, that's one thing that people don't understand is
work.
You only get out of life what you put into it.
Yes, sir.
So if you're not willing to put the hustle in, you're not willing to put the grind in, then don't expect shit out of life. That's the flip side of that. If you don't put the hustle in, you don't put the grind in, then you shouldn't be expecting shit to come to you. You ain't got nothing coming your way. God ain't going to drop no blessings on you. Because what the fuck have you done out here to deserve any blessings? Nothing. So to all the youngins that's up and coming, we always going to do a segment called Stories from a Cell. We always going to do a segment called $1 Million Worth of Game. Because we trying to give you the game to educate you to keep you out of the cell. And that's what me and Wallow is here for. Because we the real OGs. We not the OGs that's saying, oh, we come from this. We come from that. No.
Don't do that. Put that right. down.
The proof is Stop. In the pudding. He did 20 years in jail.
I'm your crash dummy. Utilize me as your crash dummy. I did this shit for you, so you ain't right. got to do it. So you can see, damn, oh, if I'm, because listen, I was a professional dickhead out there. I was doing Absolutely. A bunch of goofy, dumb shit.
Well, we was both professional dickheads. I just didn't get caught.
You might still be one. I'm just saying. This is my opinion. And I'm not saying that nobody else.
The only difference between me and Wallow is he got two left feet. He ain't really have the athletic bone. They ain't passed the athletics down to him in the family. So his getaway from the cop skills wasn't that good.
Athletics.
They ran him down. They ran him down. They kicked his back leg, athletics. Tripped him from the back. He fell, scraped his chin up. They threw the handcuffs on him. Hold up.
Athletics, hold on. Let me just say this.
He wasn't a good criminal. He was one of them dudes. Everybody run off the scene. He get caught. He screaming, "Wait up for me!" Everybody to lefty.
I'm gonna say this though. Now let's talk about the athleticism, because everybody that know that witnessed my martial arts skills, people that seen me on the court that game. Oh yeah, by the way, everybody, to all you little young street punks, 25 and under, that think you got a ball game. Me and Gil's coming to your hood 2-on-2, the big two. We're coming to a playground near you. I'm bringing my Chuck Tellers out. You're going to see if you young street punks really can play. Now, I will say this. We're going to get back to this part right here. As it's starting to get hot, so me and you, I'm challenging you in rock climbing on the walls. I'm challenging you in boulder. We're going to a batting cage, basketball. Yeah, we're getting it in. Everything. Swimming. We're going to see who's a real athlete. Everybody, yo, we're going to show y'all this.
He forgot one. Martial arts.
They would take my license. Like they would. I can't. You're not even qualified to even come to me. Like, only way, if you become danger, then I can destroy you. But other than that, I wouldn't even do that to the family. You're not qualified.
I'll let Dev
handle you. My student Dev will handle you. I'm going to have him. He's going to be a black belt this month. Mm-hmm. He been doing some real good stuff. Everything I told him to do. He sent me the videos. I'm like, "Dev, I need you to do an ultra kick takedown." He'd be like, "What's that?" "Just do it." "Dev, I need you to fly kick over a car." "I can't do it." He's doing this shit, so he's going to be a black belt. And I think you're a little jealous of that. Just come on. Join the gang. Martial artists, we're the number one defense in the world. Not boxing, not guns, martial artists.
Okay.
Shout out to the Gracie family, man. Y'all really, you know what I mean? I did some stuff with them before, but that's another story.
Yeah, because... The Gracies, what do they do? Jiu-jitsu?
Yeah,
that's right.
And it's my field.
Wallow is a third-degree black belt in jail-jitsu.
What you talking about?
Jail-jitsu,
No. Let me just say this.
He's definitely a third-degree black belt in jail-jitsu. He know all the moves.
I'm also a third-degree black belt in defense, and that defense is retreating. I have a class coming out called the Retreat Class, where it's though when danger come, you know when to retreat. Like I told you before,
you teach your niggas how to run.
No. It's not just about running. It's about understanding exits. Wait. No. It's about
how you gonna treat motherfuckers how to teach motherfuckers how to run
danger. No. Listen. First of all, in my class, I'm going to teach you how to identify danger, how to identify your exit plans when you go anywhere. See, that's what's important. Identifying exit plans. Everybody can't teach you this. You could just run, but you might run that way and run into a car. You might run that way and run into a dead end. You got to identify exit plans, and you got to know when the music play. Kenny Rogers had a song about retreating. I talked to you before about this. And the song was just wonderful. They called it The Gambler, but it was really about retreating. And it was plenty of times that this song played in my mind.
What song?
You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away. Know when to run.
That's about gambling.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
You
it's
never not. Count your money.
That's not
money
about gambling.
When you're sitting at the table.
Listen.
I heard that shit.
He was sending out subliminal messages. And in this song, because he understand that. He'd been in danger before. This song had played in my mind plenty of times. Like I told you before, I'm the type of guy, growing up, I was, you know, focused on being a vigilante. You don't know that part of me. You don't know that work. That's the stuff when I worked in the dark. That's when I put my black stuff on and I play alleyways all across Philadelphia.
What? Yeah. Such a stupid ass.
No, I'm serious. So, I play alleyways.
Dog, that's a fucking song about gambling.
No, hold up. We're going to talk about that, and I'm going to tell you what happened. So one time I found myself, these guys, they try to ambush me. I was in this alley. It was dark. All I heard was, give me my pocketbook back. They snatched this old lady pocketbook.
What?
Here I come. I jumped out of the... I jumped because I was actually in a tree because I had to see everything. I had the one joint where I had a string on the tree over there so you could see it shake. They looking at the tree, and I jumped out. What you going with that? Where you think you're going with that? And he looked at me. Yeah, we knew you would come. I said, we? Who's we? Guys jumped out. They were swinging the bats and the chains. I'm like, so you guys, you're really going to do this? Do you know who I am? So the guy, he brandished. This other guy brandished the gun, right? And as I go into my stance, the song came on. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them. The next thing you heard was, boom, 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 boom. Gate. Gate. Car window. Boom, boom, boom. Dunk. I had to retreat, but that song saved my life. It's a song that I teach my students when that song pulls to come on in your mind. And when that song come on in your mind, game time. It's time to go. I'm Wallow267, man. This is $1 million worth of game with Gilly the Nut, a.k.a. I don't know what to name this guy, but let me throw
Gilly
some
D. Of, Williams.
Let me throw some of my more names out there.
Gil Smith.
Silly the Kid. Let me throw some Gilly the Squid.
Spike G.
I would say throw some of my names out there. Everybody know me out there. I'll be throwing classes soon. Bruce Leroy Jr. You know, I'm trying to just take this whole martial arts thing to the next, you know, because we're not getting respect out here. We're really not getting the respect that we need. So as we go on, I'm opening up a dojo, $1 million worth of game dojo.
Just for the record,
it's going to be coming soon. What?
Once guns came out, martial art, the respect for martial arts died.
What martial artist do you know got shot? Name one.
Look, because they don't fuck around.
You can't name one. Wait,
hold on.
You can't name one in the country.
Wait, you know why? Because you just said once they pulled that gun out.
Dog. No.
Car.
No. The only reason that happened.
Gangs.
Because.
You got the whole.
They was going to ambush me. It was too many of them. So I got out of there. But once again, man, I want y'all to stay tuned. You know what I mean? We bringing it to you, man. $1 million worth of game. We not playing no games. Me and this nut. You know how they get.
And before we get out of here with our $1 million worth of game, I just want to tell y'all that this table right here is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sponsorship.
It's open to the sponsors. You know, you got something that you want to bring some light to. You got a product that you want to get popping. You got, you know, whatever it is. You know, yeah.
Right here behind us. Hold up. Right here behind us. This logo, the logos on here is going to be for the big boys. Mm-hmm. Don't even, like, make sure your budget right, because if you ain't got no good budget, we ain't budging. Don't, like, we not even, like, if we came to you before, you didn't jump on it, I feel sorry for you.
Absolutely.
The number's running. You know what I mean? I'm Wallow267 right here with your host, Gilly the King, and this is $1 million worth of game. And it's just like that.
Right.